20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packers fans? Happy Monday, I guess. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I know it's not the most exciting slash best slash anything day to be a Packers fan right now. So I want to extra thank you today for joining me because, it's one of those days. Football and sports are very cruel from time to time. And today is definitely one of those days, obviously following up from a pretty disastrous Sunday in Denver where things don't usually go well in Denver. And Green Bay and Denver come together and just good things do not happen for the Green Bay Packers more often than not. Obviously, the Packers lose the game. More importantly, the Packers lose Micah Parsons, likely for the season, with a torn ACL. Those are all the indications right now is that Micah has the torn ACL, which of course would end his season. Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow. As Bob Uecker said, unfortunately, what ended up being his very last game announcing, that one had some sting on it. And it's more than just the loss in the standings. It's more than just losing the number one seed in the NFC North to the Chicago Bears. It's losing one of the best players in all of football, maybe the second best defender in all of football to only Myles Garrett. Certainly the best defender on your team, arguably the best player on your team, maybe not the most important player, still could go to Jordan in that situation, but arguably the best player on your team. It would even be one more thing is if like you won the game and you lost Micah. All right, it still would, I mean, devastating, right? Beyond devastating, but at least that would have some positive spin to it. Or at least if you lost the game and lost Micah, at least Evan Williams, Zach Tom, Christian Watson, amongst others, didn't also go out with injury. Oh no, that also happened. As brutal of a day as you could imagine, it's not akin to 2014. That's worse. It's probably not akin quite to 2021 or some of the other devastating playoff losses. But as far as just sapping you of your football joy this late in the season, when you've built up so much, and I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but Packers had won 4 in a row. They were up 23-14, just forced the Denver Broncos to go 3 and out, and go Pack, go chants were echoing in Denver. They were first place in the NFC North. At the time, the Rams were losing to Detroit, and at the time, the Seattle Seahawks were losing to Indianapolis. Looked like Green Bay might even get the track at the number one seed overall in the NFC. And then the flip of the switch and everything that could go wrong basically went wrong. And that's how quick it can happen. We talk about it. I talked about it again on the live post-game show. When we talk about our keys to the Super Bowl or how Green Bay could win a Super Bowl, I do that episode pretty much every season. Here's what needs to go right. The first thing I talk about is you got to get some injury luck. And Green Bay's had the exact opposite of that. It is really difficult. And I apologize to have the somber note today. And as usually I would be the one that's like, hey, here's the positive spin on this. Here's some positive takeaways that you can look at. And maybe we'll get to a couple of those today, but in the moment, it's pretty damn tough. And what I'll say on top of that is, you know, just when it comes to injury luck, it's one thing to lose Micah for the season, but you've already lost Devontae Wyatt for the season. You've already lost Tucker Kraft for the season. Maybe to some lesser extent based on the way he was playing, but if I would have told you the beginning of the year, Elgton Jenkins done for the season, it'd be a pretty big injury as well. You just cannot have those caliber of players not be with you for any sort of stretch playoff run. If you want to spin this, you could find ways, maybe, I guess. the first way I would try to spin it would be to say, hey, what if I told you the week before the season started, right before they traded for Micah, what was your expectation for the year? It was Super Bowl, right? It was before Micah got here, the expectations was to make a run at a Super Bowl. Brian Gutekunst said it. Hey, it's time to start winning championships again. So yeah, you lose Micah, but that was the expectation before Micah, was to try to win a Super Bowl. So now you don't have Micah. You're back to where you were. Even if you want to spin it in that direction, you still don't have Devontae Wyatt, Tucker Kraft. You still don't have Elgton Jenkins. And you don't have Kenny Clark in that scenario, which would have felt like a pretty big deal at the time. You also are having a multitude of other injuries that could affect this team over the course of the next few weeks, like guys like Evan Williams, Zach Tom, etc. It's a tough spot to be in. It's a tough spot to be in, especially when literally beginning of the third quarter, everything's going well. You're facing a team that's won 10 in a row in their building. You're taking it to them, 9-point lead and have the ball. And the Packers were playing pretty fantastic football. And it really felt like things were coming together. In fact, the 40-yard plus touchdown run by Josh Jacobs felt like even one more sign of like, oh, wow, now they're even getting some explosive runs on the ground. Season's not over. You're guaranteed 3 games left, probably 4 games. But you've got work to do to get that 4th game. We'll talk about that. And this was not a situation where you were trying to set up to get to the first round of the playoffs. It was a situation that, as of less than 24 hours ago, you were expecting a potential real chance at a Super Bowl. And while that window is not entirely shut, it is barely left open, if at all. And you've got to have pretty much everything go right from here on out. That's my opening comments about the happenings of yesterday. Before we move any further, shout out to our brand new Packaday Podcast YouTube members, Lee Utke, Blake Brazner, Corey Gadenez, the Britton family, Tom Capito, Sean Trumbull, and Hero Needed Soon. We do need a hero soon. If you want to step up Hero Needed Soon, we'd appreciate it. But I appreciate you guys for signing up for new memberships. If you want to check those out over on YouTube, it'd be greatly appreciated. Also, if anyone has the opportunity to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews, we would appreciate that a ton as well. Can Packers lose 34-26 in a score that feels pretty irrelevant in the moment? Again, I wish I had better news for you overall. I wish I had a better, more optimistic view of this, but for the most part today, I don't. Let's jump right into our Habish-Habish-Rotier injury report. Of course, the Packers lose Micah Parsons to the torn ACL like we talked about. Christian Watson goes down, gets taken to the hospital. The good news here is that Christian Watson's dad tweeted out that he's fine. That's a good sign. Hopefully Christian's going to be okay. What that means for the next few weeks, though, you know, there's not much time left. You need to win pretty much at least one of these games, maybe two of your final three if you want to get into the playoffs. It's not a guarantee. And, you know, even if Christian's out 3 games, it could affect that. If he's out 4 games, even if you get in, you're potentially without him for the first week of the playoffs. We'll see. Maybe he's back this week. I don't know. It's a short turnaround. It seems like a very short turnaround for something like that where you're taken to the hospital. We'll see. But overall, it sounds like good news from Christian's dad. Evan Williams said that this injury didn't feel as bad as the one that kept him out for 4 weeks in his college career. But again, even if it does keep him out 3-4 weeks, that's a pretty significant period of time for what Green Bay is looking at right now. Zach Tom sounds like he was feeling pretty good. Matt LaFleur said more week to week. But again, if you're out 2-3 weeks, that could be pretty significant right now. They also lost Josh Wiley to a concussion. There were a variety of other players. Chris Brooks, like he got, you know, looked like he got banged up at one point in time. Nate Hobbs looked like he got banged up at one point in time. Jaden Reed looked like he got banged up at one point in time. There were a variety of players. It was a physical game. It was a very physical game for both sides. There were injuries on both sides, but Green Bay certainly got the worst of it. And those are like Christian Watson, Evan Williams, Zach Tom, Micah Parsons. I talked about on the live post-game show, every year's just a roulette wheel. It's an injury roulette wheel. You're going to end up with 10 to 12 guys on injured reserve. Spin that wheel. First one comes up. What was the first? It was really kind of Tucker Kraft, right? That's a whammy. That's one you can't have. Next one that comes up, Elgton Jenkins. That's not a good one. That's not the one that you wanted to see, you know, put up there. Next one, Devontae Wyatt. Swell, wonderful, great. I don't mean this at all the way that it's going to come across. I mean no disrespect to Nick Niemann, but the next one comes up, Nick Niemann. You're like, well, Green Bay can survive that one, right? And the next one comes up, Micah Parsons. I'm probably missing some. Marshawn Lloyd, you could potentially include in there now that he's got another hamstring injury. John Williams is one that you could probably put in there. Never, you know, got the opportunity. We'll see after this week if Colin Oliver or Brenton Cox get the opportunity to play. But right now, that roulette wheel did not come up well for Green Bay, and in a very significant way. And it's going to be a pretty significant challenge for Green Bay to try to overcome the injuries that they have for the remainder of the season as they try to make any sort of playoff push from here on out. Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game, going Josh Jacobs. 12 carries, 73 yards and a touchdown. 2 catches, 19 yards and another touchdown. Had 14 touches for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns on the day. Thought he was really, really good, especially with the injury situation he had going into the week. Was he going to play? Was he not going to play? He plays in the game. He has owned Denver throughout his career. He owned Denver again in this one. You could make the argument, maybe should have got him the ball a few more times, but you know he was under some sort of snap count and probably touch limit that they didn't want him to go over with that swelling in the knee. So I can understand that. But when he did get the ball, he was pretty phenomenal throughout the course of the day. It had another rushing touchdown that got taken off the board via penalty. Now that was before the receiving touchdown, but you get my point. Some really, really good stuff in this game from Josh Jacobs. Didn't matter in the end, but he deserves credit for the work that he put into this game. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, because right now we have bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening right now, all at once. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like which gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's Prize Picks. And I love how simple Prize Picks is to use, and more importantly, how fun it is to play. This football season's been even more fun with Prize Picks, and getting my picks in for each slate of games has been a super fun part of my football experience. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. Now this week, I'm going with Jordan Love against Chicago as Green Bay tries to retake the top spot in the NFC North. I'm also going with Nico Collins, Jameson Williams, and Teteroa McMillan. Now it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. All right, so quick question for everyone. What's better, giving the perfect gift, getting the perfect gift, or making that perfect holiday meal for everyone when you're hosting a big holiday dinner? I go back and forth, but my true answer is giving the perfect gift. Well, the best part is that with Omaha Steaks, you can give the perfect gift, you can add it to the top of your wish list this holiday season, and you can order up some delicious Omaha Steaks to cook your family and friends for your big holiday dinner. It's a win-win all the way around. Now, I love how convenient it is to order Omaha Steaks and how much people love receiving them as gifts. I recently gave some steaks as a gift to a family member, and they were beyond overjoyed. It was a pretty cool moment. Also cooked up some Omaha Steaks, and that was a pretty cool moment as well because they were absolutely delicious. And right now, it's the perfect time to save on delicious gifts and holiday hosting favorites. Surprise your friends or family members with the gift of grass-fed, grain-finished beef from a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com. Using promo code PACKADAY. Question, of course, is what can Green Bay do with the season from here? You guys know I usually like to go into a bunch of deep dives. We'll talk a little bit about the offense, defense, and special teams and some miscellaneous stuff in a moment. We'll go over playoff odds and things like that like we usually do. But tough to get into the deep dive of this one because the game feels so secondary and everything. So again, the question is, what can Green Bay do for the remainder of this year? Can they still win a Super Bowl? The answer is technically yes. It's going to be exceedingly difficult. There's no two ways around it. Again, Micah, Wyatt, Jenkins, Kraft, that's a brutal group of players to have done for the year. And that's if we don't, if we get good news on Tom, Evan, Christian, etc., that there's no more injuries that we don't even know about as I'm recording this, that could be knocked out longer as well. And I mean, it doesn't even take, if Watson's, injury prognosis is good, but he's out 5 weeks, that could be the season. Same thing with Tom, same thing with Evan Williams. Like we're on a pretty short timeline from here on out for what this season looks like. Just brutal timing, brutal injuries. So what do you do if you're Green Bay? Well, it's one game at a time. You start with Chicago. You go to Chicago this week. NFC North's on the line. You still have the opportunity, regardless of what you think could happen in the playoffs or not happen in the playoffs, you've got an opportunity still to finish the season strong and get the number two seed, win the NFC North, and see where that goes, see where it takes you. And hell, even if you can't make something out of it, at least you're knocking Chicago out of that spot and making it so that they've got to work their way the rest of the way. That's a victory in some extent as well. So one game at a time. Let's take Chicago first, see what you can do against Chicago. Also has to be an us against the world mentality. No, but nobody's going to believe in Green Bay. Hell, I'm having a tough time believing in Green Bay right now. You better believe national media and other teams are not going to take them seriously. You lost Micah and Tucker and Devontae, etc. That would seemingly be your Super Bowl aspirations right out the window. Well, doesn't always work that way. And I will say, my favorite, sort of moments have been the moments that the expectations are gone, where everyone kind of rules the team out. There was some of that in 2010. And that's the other thing. We talk about it all the time here. I've talked about it on numerous occasions. You hear the coaches talk about it as well. If you want to make a run at anything, if you want to be anything special, you're going to have to overcome adversity. Now, maybe it's overcoming adversity in 2026 so you can win in 2027. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they don't overcome the adversity. Or maybe they overcome the adversity now and do something special in 2025 and 2026. And sorry, I said 27, but I mean 26, 27 is my point. But maybe they do it now. Maybe they do it sooner. I don't know what that playoff run looks like. I will say, if you want any chance, you can't finish seventh. You can't just go 1-2, try to take the seventh seed by limping in at the end and then going road game, road game, road game, Super Bowl. I don't see that being the recipe. Start by getting the number two seed, winning the division. Like I said, one game at a time, overcome adversity, rally together. Let this be your, in a weird roundabout way, galvanizing moment. Have guys step up. And see where it goes. Maybe you can do something magical. The odds are against you, but maybe you can do something magical. Interestingly enough, I was going to go over this later as well. Packers are favored in this game against Chicago to open things up. Interestingly enough, Packers are tied for seventh in Super Bowl odds, even after all of this. Now it's plus 1,500. It's not great odds, but they're tied with the Patriots. They're behind only the Rams, Seahawks, Broncos, Bills, Eagles, and Texans. And guess what? Seahawks aren't perfect. Broncos are not perfect. They played a good game in Denver. They came back. I thought they were an impressive team. That was the best I've seen Bo Nix play. Bills aren't perfect. Eagles aren't perfect. Texans certainly aren't perfect. Rams are really good. Not perfect, but really, really good. Get a couple things that go your way. Green Bay's due for some injury luck. They're due for some turnover luck. I mean, sign me up for that. Try to get that going for you first. If you get that going for you, I guess maybe. I don't know. Well, like I said, one game at a time. One game at a time. We go from there. Try to beat the Bears this coming Saturday in Chicago. take that us versus the world mentality, overcome adversity, try to do something special. So why the hell not? You got nothing else to lose. I thought Rashawn Gary said it best. We got three games left. Three games left. See what you can do. You know, he's a team captain. He was the message, you know, kind of bearer for the rest of the team. Not folding. See what they can do. Again, starting this week against Chicago. Offensively in this game, again, we talked about Josh Jacobs, thought he was really good. I didn't think Jordan had his A game in this one. You might say, well, of course not. He threw picks and whatever. Yeah, I get it. I even mean outside of that, just early on, even some of the throws that he did complete, I didn't think were super accurate within the frame of the receiver to make it so that they could run after the catch. Musgrave, Golden, Wicks on the interception, some of those. If you look at the touchdown or the interception to Watson that led to the injury and then the downfall of civilization after that, we'll talk about the play call in a moment, but you can see Jordan got rocked as that throw was going off. I don't think he got everything he wanted to into that throw. Still put in a pretty good spot for Christian. Christian's got to come back to that ball more. But I honestly think Christian didn't think Surtain was going to be able to make that play in the ball. I think he thought he was going to get that easy. And then Surtain just makes a ridiculous Surtain play and picks it off in just a crushing, crushing play overall. Not only the injury to Watson, but the turnover, everything changes right on that play. So, if you're concerned about Love's throwing that one, he gets rocked right as he's letting go. I think that definitely affected it. You still got a lot under it, but I'm willing to bet you if that defender doesn't hit him at, basically time to throw, that goes a little bit further and Watson's got a better chance at it. Like I said, I do think Watson's got to come back to that ball or at least high point it a little bit better, but I don't think he expected Surtain to make the play. Surtain made an unbelievable play and the rest was history. As far as the decision on that throw, I talked about it a lot on the live postgame show. I have no issue with the decision. I sat through the first half of the season where everyone was complaining because Matt, went all brake and no gas in the second half of games and took his foot off the pedal and allowed teams to get back into it. Not aggressive enough. Can't go for the kill shot. Scared money doesn't make money, but then you go and just run in the second half when you're having a lead. Well, now he gets the look that he wants with Watson running down the field into space. Take your shot. Take your shot. I have no issue with that play call. Wish it would have ended better, but I would do that again 100 times out of 100. Maybe not with the benefit of hindsight, but outside of that, I like that look. I like that look. Got to block it up a little bit better. Jordan's got to get it there. Again, I don't think it was his fault. I think he got hit on the play. And then Watson's got to go figure out a way to high point that, make sure it's not an interception, if nothing else. Even if it is, though, that's basically an arm punt. Denver took over first and 10 on their 29, down 9 points. Defense, get off the damn field. Make a play. Get the ball back for your team. Play complimentary football. I know it's not complimentary when Jordan starts with the pick, but figure out a way to overcome that adversity. And they didn't. That was a big theme in this one. I didn't think Green Bay did a great job of overcoming the adversity. And, Watson goes down. You could tell people in the pick happens. You could tell even just the players that I'm not trying to be body language police here, but it looked like the, wind was knocked out of them. And then it was obviously worse once Micah got hurt, which understandably to some extent, everyone's human, but they got to find a way to respond a little bit better in the face of adversity. I didn't think they did a great job of that today. I thought Matthew Golden had a nice game when given the opportunity. That was a really good sign for Golden. And it was really just a tale of two halves. First half looked really good for the most part for Green Bay's offense. Second half looked abysmal. Once they're down, having to throw, that Denver defense can tee off and they're the best pressure defense in football. And they showed it definitely in the second half when they got the opportunity to. Defense, I thought there were three players who played well. First glance, Micah, Edgerrin Cooper, and Xavier McKinney. I know he dropped the pick, but thought outside of that, Xavier played pretty damn well. You could tell quickly the lack of pass rush without Micah Parsons. That was noteworthy right away. Didn't need to be a film study, aficionado to figure that out. Just didn't have the juice. No Devontae, no Micah. Turns out that matters quite a bit. You could just tell now Jeff Hafley's going to have to bring more pressure. More pressure means more Carrington and Keyshawn on an island. And guess who also didn't have a good game? Keyshawn or Carrington. It's tough. Tough right now out there for the defense. I thought this was a really bad game overall, though, for the defense. Just didn't have their A game. Didn't seem like they were overly ready for what Sean Payton and company was going to throw at them, literally and figuratively. And Sean Payton was ahead of Jeff Hafley on the day. I think it's fair to say that. I still think the world of Jeff Hafley, but that I thought that was one of his tougher performances. That in Dallas earlier in the year, that were probably maybe his two worst performances as a defensive coordinator. We'll be right back. Valentine and Nixon again struggled quite a bit in this game. And then again, I think the question is, do you have enough pieces on defense? You don't have the edge rushers right now. Gary and LVN, you're going to need a lot more from them. You don't have the defensive tackles. It's going to take everyone. It's going to take everyone stepping up. And it's a tough spot to be in right now. Special teams, McManus went 4-for-4 and everything else said it's the usual tone of crappy special teams. Whalen hit a punt into the end zone. McManus hit a kick into the end zone. You had penalties. You had a muff kick return. Just ho-hum usual day at the office for the Fighting Rich Bisaccias. Packers did get some help. Lions and Cowboys losing did narrow some scenarios. Green Bay is currently the number 7 seed. They can clinch a playoff berth at any point with one win and a Lions loss. So, you know, Detroit needs to hit a pretty significant parlay. You know, they need to win one of theirs. They need Green Bay to lose three of theirs. But Green Bay can get in with one win and one Lions loss. It's not the hardest thing in the world. Should also have an opportunity to get in with two wins as well for Green Bay. But right now, get a win, hope for a Lions loss. It's not guaranteed. Lions face Chicago in the final week of the season. You could end up in a world. It's not unthinkable. If Green Bay loses their next two and Detroit wins their next two, Green Bay is going up in week 17 against Minnesota. Chicago is facing Detroit. You would need Chicago to beat Detroit and Green Bay to beat Minnesota in order to get in that situation. Not the situation Green Bay wants to be in. Hopefully they can take care of business this week against Chicago. Simplify those things just a little bit. I meant to mention the inactives for the day. Pierre Strong, Donovan Jennings, Quentin Bohanna, Savion Williams, Nasir Stackhouse, and Baron Sorrell were your inactives. Remaining schedule for Green Bay at Bears, Ravens at home, at Vikings. Again, Packers open as 1.5-point favorites against Chicago. Green Bay still 92% chance to make the playoffs. That goes to 99%, actually greater than 99% with a win over the Bears. Goes to 85% with a loss. They are currently 48% chance to win the NFC North. That goes to 82% with a win, only 13% with a loss. And their odds of getting a bye in the number one overall seed, pretty much done. Even if they went 3-0 the rest of the way, they only have a 2% chance of getting that number one overall seed. So that seems like it's pretty much fully out of the question at this point. Packers again tied for 7th at plus 1,500 to win the championship, tied with the Patriots behind the Rams, Seahawks, Broncos, Bills, Eagles, and Texans, and ahead of everyone else. Next week, what you're looking for is a Packers win and a Lions loss. Again, that would clinch you the division. That would clinch you a playoff spot. My apologies. That would clinch you a playoff spot, not the division, but it would help in the division quite a bit as well with the Bears losing in that scenario. Also, an Eagles loss could help with some number 2 and 3 seed stuff as well. So not the worst team to cheer against, but Packers win, Lions lose are the big two next week. Some quick final thoughts. A devastating day for Green Bay. No two ways around it. Going to have to find a way to bounce back. We'll see what LaFleur and this team are made of. Hopefully it's something special. They're going to need it for sure. Hopefully we get good news on Watson, Williams, Tom, and some of the other injured reserve players. But one step at a time, I guess. Hopefully we can get some good news from those. It's tough to find a window to try to win a Super Bowl right now. It just is. Do I think they can do it? Maybe. But it's going to be extremely, extremely, extremely difficult. See if they can figure out a way. As for now, we're on to Chicago. One game at a time. Let's enjoy it. We only get so many of these each year. We're guaranteed to get 3 more, should get 4 more. But getting a win against Chicago would put them in a position to succeed. Season's not dead. It's on life support. But let's see if we can give some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, get this thing going back in the right direction. I don't know who's going to do that or what spark is needed, but maybe somebody can give it to him in a least expected way. Maybe Colin Oliver just comes back and is just as good as Micah Parsons. And problem solved. I don't think that's going to happen, but hey, we'll take it one day at a time. I don't even think Colin Oliver is going to play for Green Bay this year, but I'm searching. I'm grasping. I'm looking for anything at this point in time. Hopefully Green Bay can get a big win versus Chicago. We'll cover for you all week here on the Pack-A-Day podcast. Sorry again if I'm a little disappointing, curmudgeon-y today. Had a long day of travel. Pretty much been up for about 24, actually have been over 24 hours now. A couple little tiny plane naps in between. But yeah, one of those days in Packers land. One that we'll remember and we'll want to forget as quickly as we possibly can. And it's going to be very difficult to do so. Shout out to our All-Prone Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Henry Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Stephen Bates, John Mark Lydell, and Nemo. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.